It is a great pleasure to welcome back to European Investing Summit Alejandro Esteban. He has served as the Chief Investment Officer of True Value Fund since its inception. True Value, based in Spain, is a long-only equity fund founded in 2014. It focuses on underfollowed small and mid-cap public companies seeking good businesses with good management teams. Alejandro holds a degree in mechanical engineering and a degree in industrial engineering. And I'm sure many of you in the MOI Global community know Alejandro quite well by now. He has presented some very compelling ideas in the past. And Alejandro, it's great to have you with us today for European Investing Summit 2022. Please go ahead.
Hello, John, and thank you for having us here another year for another session. So today we are going to talk about compounders. It's a very unpopular theme to invest right now because they are down a lot in the indices, and we think that this is the right moment. So in the recent months, we have launched a new fund called True Value Compounders to take advantage of these cheap companies with this above normal growth. So in today's presentation, we are going to talk about our framework to invest in compounders. And also we are going to show three general examples of investments that we currently have in this new fund. So this is the legal notice. So this is not an investment advice. You have to do your own research. And you must know that investing in the stock market has some risk, okay? So as John said, we are a small asset management firm here in Spain. We manage around 300 million euros. We are focused in small and middle caps. So in this new fund, we have this new theme to invest. So in the original fund, True Value Fund, these are our results, okay? So in 2022, we will see how the year ends, but we are down something like 25%. But we are very happy with our results. Over the last 9 years, we only have 2 down years, and the rest of the years are very good, and we have a total return over 100% of over these years. And this has been a very difficult time for small caps investing or value investing. So we are very happy about the future because small caps, especially small caps with some kind of growth, as we are going to show today, are very cheap. So this should provide above normal returns for the future. So in today's presentation, we are talking about compounders. The basic idea for a compounder company is that they can compound the earnings per share at least double digits. So in this table, which is taken from the book 100 Baggers, which is a very good book, it shows that it's better to pay 20 times earnings for a company that you are sure that is going to grow 20% per year in the future. It should provide better results than paying 10 times earnings for a company that is going to grow 10% over the next 10 years. So, for example, company A at the same time, because both companies earn in this example, $1 per share, they start trading at very high price, $20. And B company trades at $10, 10 times earnings. But after 10 years, you can see that earnings per share in the higher growth company ends at $6. and the lower growth company ends at $2.50. So in the next 10 years, at the same multiple, again, with the company A, you end up with $120, which is much better result than company B, even if you bought it at a much lower valuation. So the risk here is that you don't predict correctly the earnings per share in the future for the company. So usually in value investing, you look for low PE ratio because it is true. They give you margin of safety, some kind of security in case you are grown. So that investment style is also very profitable and safe. But if you look for companies where you can see a very long road for growth, it can be very interesting. So what we discover in our fund from past investments that we have most of our returns came from 6 to 10 stocks only. And when we analyze the characteristics about that stocks, we found that they are compounders. For example, in 2014, we invested in Constellation Software, which is very known right now, but back then it wasn't all that known like it's today. So we made 8 times in our money. They have compounded annual earnings per share by almost 20% per year. This is a very stable business, very recession proof, and insiders have a high ownership. Go Easy in Canada, we made 7 times our money over the last 6 years. They have compounded earnings per share at 30% per year. Very stable characteristics, also high ownership. Premium Brands is the same. It is up 4 times since our initial investment in 2015. Very good company. It is a food company. They have grown 15%. Also very stable business. Insider ownership is low, but they have very good management. Boyd Group, the same. Very good business in Canada. 4 times our money. Humanis is a very good investment. In fact, we presented this idea for the first time in the European Investment Summit back in 2016. Now the company has been taken private at 17 euros. We presented the idea at 2 euros. So it has been very successful for us. They have some kind of growth, but it was also a special situation. Okay. And Youth Scientific is a very, very good small cap. We invested in the company in 2016, 5 times our money. And this is also a small cap. And they are growing also at double digits. So in this case, we bought this company very cheaply. After the Brexit, all small caps were very cheap in the UK. Most like today, it's also trading at very cheap valuations, the UK market. So we have some return from value for multiple revaluation and from earnings per share growth. So we also have some very good investments in true value small caps with these companies. This is other fund we have. We made 4 times in SDI Group. It's very similar to Youth Scientific, for example. There are other some kind of special situations and everything, but for the compounder theme, we have done very well with the original fund. So if we look at Warren Buffett, he also likes compounders because he has said sometimes that over his lifetime, He has invested in more than 500 stocks, but 95% of his fortune came from a select group of 20 stocks. If we look in depth about these 20 very good stocks that Warren Buffett invested in the past, all of them have in common that they are compounders. They grow above normal, about double digits for a very, very long period of time, like Gillette, Coca-Cola, American Express, and companies like the Washington Post. They made like a 100 bagger with almost 20% growth per year. Geico, 100 bagger. Wells Fargo, 20 bagger. And Wells Fargo today is a low growth company or no growth at all. But in the 90s, early 20s, they compounded earnings per share at 15 per year. Coca-Cola also is a 20 bagger for Mr. Buffett. And when Buffett bought this company, it was growing, but not spectacular growth, like almost double digit again, like 12%. Buffett bought Coca-Cola at 13 times earnings. But even if Buffett bought Coca-Cola for 15 or almost 20 times earnings, the result will be almost the same over the years, okay? So in this investment style, it's very important to be right about the future of the company, okay? Maybe if you pay 100 times earnings or 80 times earnings, but the result will be much different. But in this kind of valuations, the growth will be much more important. Gillette, American Express, as we said. So these are very good investments for Mr. Buffett. Now I'm going to show you three investments that we have in our portfolio in this new fund. Back in the last year here in the European Investment Summit, we presented Nagarro, okay? So I think it's appropriate to have a little update. We presented the idea at 160 euros. The ticker is NA9 in Germany, okay? So people right now are very negative with the German market, but this company only have 10% of their sales in Germany. Their biggest market is in fact the US, okay? So if you miss the idea of great compounders like EPAM, we also bought EPAM this year for this fund when the Ukraine war and everything, they have all the employees or the, because this company does digital engineering like Nagarro, is a very good sector. It is forecasted to grow at least 50%, the whole sector, for the next 5 to 8 years. So this company, EPAM, Nagarro, they forecast to grow 20 to 25% organic growth for the next 10 years. In fact, Nagarro, over the last 10 years, they have grown revenues from 30 million to almost 800 million. And much of this growth is pure organic growth. So they plan over the next 10 years to make another 10x, to reach almost 10 billion in sales, okay? So this is the situation. People also doesn't like European equities because the euro is down, but this is good for Nagarro because they are like, they export. Okay, so they have cost in euros or Indian rupees because they have this offshore model for digital engineers, and they receive revenue or income from other currencies, okay, which are more valuable right now than the euro. So this is very similar to EPAM, Globant. These are companies with very powerful returns. So Nagarro is an spin-off. They came public last year at 70 euros. Last year they did very well because people were in love with compounders. But this year is down very big, like down to 90 euros. This is right now the largest position in all of our funds, in almost everyone, okay? Because we feel there is a huge upside and little downside, okay? The company this year is going to grow 65% in the first 6 months. They have a competitive advantage because they have a very low cost. The management team is one of the best we have seen. They have low salaries, no stock options, they have high insider ownership, they have low profile, they are focused in the business. So they are doing a great job. But this is a small company, it's almost 1 billion euros company and very unknown because it's only traded in the stock market for almost 2 years. It's a spin-off, and you know all the dynamics usually in spin-offs, okay? So this year they are going to do around 130 million euros EBITDA, and over the next year they are going to grow the EBITDA probably for more than 160, which will translate into 100 million net income. And now it's currently trading exactly at 1.2 billion euros. Sorry. Okay. So it is trading around 8 times EBITDA over the next 12 months. To show how cheap we think the stock, we think it is. Companies like EPAM, even they are down in the US market or Globant, they trade for 20 to 20 times next year earnings. And they are down in the stock market more than 50%. They are trading around 30 times next year earnings. And these earnings include a lot of stock options. Nagarro is trading at 10 times next year, almost 65% discount. They have low debt. Next year, debt will be around 1.5 EBITDA. If they do acquisitions to complement growth, maybe the debt leverage ratio goes up a little bit, but they are trading at very clean 10 to 12 times earnings next year, and maybe around 15 times earnings this year. And companies like, for example, Endava in the US market, which is, these four companies are very similar if you research for their business, is trading at 4 times earnings, which today, which includes also stock options and a lot of adjustments, okay? So the company is growing, they are expanding their margins, they are promoting working from home because rent and office space for this company is a big item. So this company is having margin expansion because almost all the employees can work from home, and this is a very big saving for the company, okay? So last year, Nagarro was at this price. Now this year came down a lot. We have bought a lot of stocks for the fund, and we are at the limit, okay? Here the regulator forces us to hold maximum 10% of the fund, but if we didn't have this limitation, obviously the position will be much higher. This is also a business where this is very recession-proof. They have a lot of maintenance, and clients have to pay these companies to keep their companies alive, because if the digital infrastructure goes down, the whole company goes down. So this is a little brief update. So we are going to talk about three examples of these companies in this fund. So the first one is also a German company. Germany is a very a love to invest right now. So now it's trading, I think, more cheaply. It's around 53 euros. It's coming down every day. So in the past years, you can see that the performance on this company is very good. This is not a digital engineering firm. We have done a lot of money in this sector. Companies like Humanis also, it was a service company. And we have a lot of experience in this sector. We have invested in a lot of companies. Our success rate in this sector is very high, like almost 90% success with very high returns. For example, I think 2 years ago in the European Investment Summit, we presented SII with this Société pour l'Informatique Industrielle, with the ticker is the same. In France, this is also an engineering service IT company in France, very cheap. We presented the idea at 22 euros or 20 euros, I don't remember. Even if it's down the market, 2 years later it's trading at 45, I think, around 100% return. Okay. And also in the years before we presented Neurones in France, it is also a service IT company. It is up a lot also from the presentation, more than 100%. So this is like our cycle of competence. So this company, in contrast to Nagarro, they have a lot of clients, obviously, in Germany, but the service they provide to companies usually save money for the clients. It's a very easy service to sell to the clients because it saves money and now people are looking to reduce costs, so they need to invest in technology, they need to invest in outsourcing. And Data Group provides these services. Also, they are present in high growth subsegments of the service IT companies like cloud, cybersecurity, blockchain, and everything. Okay. So the stock is almost down 50% from the recent highs. This business is also very resilient. People are afraid that what happens if there is a recession in Germany or Europe and everything. If you look for the results of this company in 2008, the global financial crisis, you can find that they did very well in that environment. Okay. So, as you can see, over the last 10 years, the Data Group did very well. They have grown EBITDA from 10 million to 75 million this year, which is ending in June. So very good return, like 20% growth. They are expanding margins and they have grown almost every year. So this company usually grows organic and inorganic. Maybe organic growth is like 5%. It is higher than the general service IT company in Germany, which is a very good sign. In this sector, it's very important to grow organic above the market because that usually tells us that the company has competitive advantage. The bigger risk in this sector, or maybe the only risk, because we have a lot of experience, is that the company feels or starts offering very old technologies and they don't have the best quality employees with the latest technology and the best knowledge. When that happens in company, for example, like Atos, which is a very low quality company, in the service IT company in Europe. It's going down almost every day in the stock market. They have this problem, very old technologies, all employees, they are not in the, they don't have the best knowledge. So it's very dangerous to invest in these companies. Atos seemed to be very cheap over the last 3 to 4 years, but the result was very bad. We also, at the first, made the mistake of investing in this kind of service IT companies with low multiples, which is with very low organic growth, and it's very risky. In other sectors, it's okay, you can do well, but in this sector is almost the biggest risk. So we have researched the whole sector for many years or decades, and we have looked for companies that fail or go bankrupt, and all they have their that same problem in common. So it's very important to look for that. So this is a company that can compound annual growth in EPS at double digit. We think 50% is okay for the next years, is bigger than in the past. 85% the company says that is very recurring. You can also check 2008, as we said before. Insiders are very aligned. They own more than 30% of the company. They don't like to dilute shareholders. So right now, because it's going down every day, the market is trading around 9 times over the next 12 months. Their fiscal year ends in June. So for the next June, they are going to produce around 45 to 50 million euros free cash flow. And the debt is very low at 2 times EBITDA. And it's usually trading at 6 times EBITDA right now at 50 euros or 53. So private valuations in this market also suggest some upside, because in this kind of market, usually the valuation starts at 10 times EBITDA and 16 times free cash flow. So at 3 to 5 years, okay, there is a little mistake here. Now you can see down here the very simple valuation. You can value it at 20 times, you can value it, because rates are higher, at 15 times, but next year is going to produce 50 million euros. At 15 times will be a valuation of 750. Current market cap is 430 million euros. And here you can see, you can expect some kind of growth over the next 4 years. It's very reasonable to grow 50%. At 50 times, the valuation can be 1 billion, which is around 120 euros. So very internal rate of return over the next 4 years, we think. At low valuation, if it trades at 20 times, it will be higher. So the second company is in the UK, okay? Very unloved market right now, very cheap companies. Yesterday, I found that there is huge capital outflows from the UK, 4 times bigger than in 2008. So negativity is very high in this market. So we have this local company, Marlowe. This is a high growth story. And they provide technical services or inspection services. They help clients to get certifications from the government, legal requirements. For example, they go to companies and they check that their fire systems are okay, their water systems is okay, because when the government is going to check that everything's okay, they're going to pass the test. So this usually is a very good business because the competitive advantage is based on reputation, having a brand, and trust from the clients. What Marlowe found is that this kind of market in the UK is very fragmented. So they decided to consolidate this market. They have very good organic growth. This year, for example, they are going to grow 10%, even if there is crisis every day in the news, but they are going to grow organic 10%. Their usual organic growth is around 7%. And the rest is from buying businesses very cheap, around 6 to 8 times EBITDA, because they are small businesses. But we think that this kind of public companies, like, for example, you have bigger ones in Europe, like SGS or Bureau Veritas or something like that, they usually trade at very high multiples because they have low capital intensity. Revenue visibility is huge in Marlowe. Every year, the company needs to update their systems to check that everything is okay, to avoid penalties from the government and to be safe and be a good place for the workers of the clients. So the company says that almost 90% of the revenue is recurring. So here you can see the growth in the earnings per share is very high. This company, usually they are very good capital allocators. When the company was trading at high multiples last year, they issued a lot of new shares to fund this high growth. So the growth in earnings per share was lower, but they were using new shares at 50 times EBITDA, and they were buying with that money very good private companies at 8 times EBITDA. So the valuation arbitrage is very easy to see. Now the company is down from highs like 30%. So right now they aren't using new shares. Now the company is bigger, they can use cheap debt. Even if interest rates are rising, they can use very cheap debt to fund this future growth. Back in 2019, they were very small and the banks didn't give them cheap debt. So this is the situation. Here you can see organic growth over the last years. It is going up, which is a very good sign. And recurring revenues are also as a percentage of total revenues. So they are expanding into new verticals. So in the UK only, they have like 5 billion total addressable market. They are going to end up this year with 500 million euros in revenues, but they are going into different verticals. There is the fire vertical, the water vertical, the infrastructure vertical, well-being in the working place, and everything, okay? So the company is trading right now around £7, okay? They have very low debt, around 1 time EBITDA. So we think this is a very good thing in this environment because they can use cash flow and cheap debt to take private companies at even lower valuations than the years before. So the company is growing earnings per share over the last years at 30 times, okay, including dilution and everything. We think over the next years, 20% growth is okay. Insiders are very aligned because they have big bonuses, but it is tied to the only condition that the company provides 50% annual return, at least in the stock market. Otherwise, they will not get these bonuses, okay? And also they have like 20% ownership. So market cap is also a small cap. People doesn't like small caps in the UK, as we said before. So these companies usually trade at very high multiples, like 25 times free cash flow or 15 times EBITDA. Okay, but if you like, in this kind of environment, you can use 20 times free cash flow or 12 times EBITDA. And here are the free cash flow projections. We project around 15 to 20% growth over the next 5 to 4 years. And we see a value around £20, which is almost 3 times our initial investment. So part of this return is going to come from earnings per share growth, and the other part, I think, is going to come from a revaluation or higher multiple. The third one is Volati. Volati is a Sweden company. This is like a serial acquirer, very popular theme over the past 5 years, but right now it's not popular to have growth. So the company is down big time. The past year they reached 220 crowns and it is down like 50%. So we have bought a lot of shares, okay? The company is going to grow this year 20%. We also think that it's going to grow the next year also. So what this company does is industrial holding. They try to buy very good industrial companies on the cheap. Almost like, for example, in the US, like Roper Technologies, in the early days, they made huge returns buying industrial companies, like companies that manufacture pumps, for example, from the industries, a classical investment from Roper. So this investment style is very, or can be very profitable. For example, in the US, there is also a little company we have on the watch list, which is CSWI, very good industrial roll-up company. It's worth having or spending a little time with this company. So Volati has been doing or has been public 6 years. They have a very good success. They usually traded at high multiples, but now the multiple is coming down. This year, they are going to earn 7 crowns per share, and next year, maybe 8 or 9. So it is trading at 13 times next year for a company that can easily grow 50% per year over the next years. It is a small company also, like 900 million euros market cap, and the management team is very good. They are following companies like Danaher, for example. They have a decentralized management system. They are very clear. They don't promote the company. They are very good management in general. Here is the growth of the company. They have the track record of 28 consecutive years of growth. Even in 2008, 2009, here you can see that EBIT went up in the financial crisis. Okay. From 2007, margins went down a little bit, but revenues went up. They pick up a lot of cheap companies in that recession, and we hope that they will do the same in this down market. Here you can see this lower margin. That is because in 2020 they have some companies benefiting from COVID. So the natural trend is here, but they were over-earning in 2020. They also did an spin-off. That is why revenues went down, okay? But it's because they did an spin-off to generate value for shareholders, which is also a very good sign. So in the past, they have compounded earnings per share at 25 times. We are aware that the company is bigger right now, so we project 15% growth. And similar companies with this kind of growth trades at 20 to 25 free cash flow or 12 to 15 EBITDA. Now, in this market, also you can use lower multiples, okay, if you want, but we think that over the next 4 years, if the company reaches 12 crowns per share or 15, even if you apply something like 15 times, the end result is around through to 200 or 250. So right now, if it's trading at 100 over the next 4 years, this is a very nice internal rate of return, around 17% per year. If the market decides to back up the valuation multiple, you can do 20 times on average per year, but we think it's okay. So these are the three examples that we wanted to show to you to talk about this very interesting investment style. And you have the bonus of Nagarro, which is very interesting in this market right now. So, John, we are happy to answer some questions about this presentation.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Alejandro, for the presentation. Very interesting indeed. I'm curious, you've done a lot of work in this sector and with these types of businesses. How much of your portfolios roughly are these kinds of companies? Just a very rough number. Is it, you know, a third, a half, more than a half?
Just now, if we count service IT, digital engineering IT, and everything, is usually one third of the fund, okay? Because, as I said before, the regulator here limits you the positions you can have. You have to have diversification and everything. But we are happy to invest in very good sectors. And if you invest in good sectors, you don't need a lot of diversification.
And clearly, all of the companies you've talked about today look cheap and look like quality growth companies. How do you internally decide which is the best opportunity at any given time? Or do you have several of these at your limit or close to the limit of 10%?
Sometimes, like for example, Nagarro, they have good liquidity, so we can buy a nice position. But in other companies, like for example, Data Group, the liquidity is very low, so we are limited in that way also. So when we decide the portfolio strategy, we look for asymmetric investment, okay, where the downside is very low and the upside is very big. We prefer growth companies because over the years, even if you use lower multiples and everything that people is talking right now, you can end up with much better result. You can sleep much more better in the night with that kind of businesses. The time is your friend in that investment, and they have lower volatility, we think, in a normal environment. Not this year, but in a normal environment, because the time is in your favor. Usually, if the business is good, volatility is going to be lower, which is also good for the clients of the funds, because they are not professional investors and they usually get afraid when there is volatility and everything. So for a fund is also very good. So if we have liquidity to buy a big position, we like to do that. For example, early this year, Telus International, which is traded in the US, the ticker is TIXT, it is also a spin-off, very unknown company. They came down to $22, $24. At that price, it was trading at 50 times earnings. Growing organic growth was 20%. It is projected to grow for a lot of years. And for me, it was unbelievable that people offered us this kind of business for 15 times earnings. And now it's up a little bit. Maybe it's at 17, 18 times. But in the past, even if you research with higher multiples and everything, this company is very rare to find the securities lower than 25 earnings. The same for EPAM. This year, they went down a lot. So we usually like to take advantage of these companies where the value is there and the risk is very low. But remember that it's better to invest in the best ones of these sectors, because we have a lot of bad experiences in the past with lower quality companies.
How do you build confidence in something like TIXT, that it will grow 20% annually for many years? Because, you know, how in 3 or 5 years from now, how do you know that the growth will not slow to 15 or even 10%?
It is very important. The first step, we look for research about particular sector. You can find a lot of free stuff, even in Google, or white papers and research about digital engineering or the sector that you are looking for. And for example, digital engineering right now is a $500 billion market. Okay, it's projected to grow over the next 3 to 4 years to $800 billion market. So one of the biggest companies in this sector may be EPAM. EPAM is doing only $5 billion in revenues, only. Okay, so even one of the most known in the companies known in the market is like 1% market share, and the sector is very fragmented. Okay, so in this sector, having a scale, having the brand, for example, is very important. We in the second step, we look for what is the competitive advantage of this company. So the client of these companies are going to be something like, for example, BMW or General Motors, for example, big corporations. We have very special technological needs. They need a very tailored solution. So they like to trust bigger companies because they feel more secure that the work is going to be better. And in this particular sector, we found that even when companies were growing, the growth rate didn't slow. Usually in other sectors, the growth rate tend to slow very fast. But in this sector, they can maintain a very good growth rate for many years, but because when they are having some scale, if their technology is good, they can grow and grow. And Telus is one of the market leaders in consumer experience software technology or digital engineering technology for the consumer experience, like something like chatbots. They do outsourcing work for companies like Facebook or Google, because they need to moderate comments in the platform and everything. So the first is understand how big is the market, why is it going to grow at that rate? And for example, in digital engineering, companies right now in the next generation technology, they need very specific software for them. So you need to build that software with very specific needs. In the past, companies like Microsoft, for example, they did very good horizontal software, okay? Software that you can use in a lot of industries, or Oracle. But the market growth for that kind of software is much lower because they are almost in the whole world, okay? But right now, technology is more and more complex, and you are forced as a company to build your own solutions. And usually these companies build solutions for the clients. And usually they do cheaper than the clients themselves, okay? So another important factor is that if your competitors are investing in this kind of technologies, for example, Nagarro does a lot of work for banks. They create apps for the banks. This is a very complex, but once you have built an app, a very good app for the bank, you can go to client B, which is also a bank. You can use the same work. You can change the logo and everything, and you can compete, and you have a competitive advantage over the or over other companies. Because if you focus in a niche, you can grow and lower your cost. And also, if clients are investing in these technologies, the other competitors are forced to invest also, because otherwise they will be behind their competitors. So the first step is to research the total addressable market. Second step, understand why is this competitive advantage, why some companies are doing better than others in that sector, and they're trying to find good companies in that sector, for example, and then trying to buy cheap these companies. Last year, it was very difficult. Companies like EPAM, for example, in this sector, were trading at 70 times earnings. Globant was also at 60 times earnings, very high multiples. Even at these multiples, if they can grow 20 to 25% over the next 5 to 10 years, the result can be very good. But we prefer to focus in lower multiples, obviously, because it gives much more margin of safety. Because when you are buying a company like Nagarro at 12 times earnings, this price doesn't tell you that the company is going to grow 20%. It's the kind of multiple that you can expect for 0% growth company. Very good business, very resilient and very recession proof, but we think we are not overpaying, or for something like Data Group at 8 to 9 times free cash flow over the next 12 to 18 months. We think that we are not overpaying or paying almost nothing for future growth. Even if the price stays at this level, the company can give you dividends, they buy back stock. For example, Nagarro announced some days ago a buyback. And one factor I forget to mention, when we invest in compounders, we like companies with very high returns on capital, because they produce free cash flow even after they grow organically. Okay, so when Nagarro grows organic at 20% per year, which is huge, they can produce this year like 50 after investments in organic growth, and maybe the next year net income will be 100 million, free cash flow can be 70, 80, because they have to invest in working capital due to the business model. But this is a huge number for a company that grows organic 20%, because with the extra money, the company can do things like buying other companies to accelerate growth. They can buy back stock. They can do dividends. And if you research for companies with spectacular tools like Domino's Pizza or Home Depot, they have the same qualities. They were businesses that were growing organic at very high rates, and at the same time, they were producing free cash flow. They use that free cash flow usually, maybe not all, but to do things like M&A, buy back shares, dividends, and they can also request additional debt because their EBITDA or their profits were higher, and they can use that debt to increase the growth via buybacks or doing M&A. So in this new era of technology, we think that these companies are going to be winners over the 5 to 10 years because that high organic growth is very profitable when you do a little model. You don't have to be an expert to value these companies. The important thing is to invest in the good ones, to see the growth, to trust the market and everything. But 20% organic growth is very profitable, even if rates go up. But, okay.
Yes. On Nagarro, I'm just wondering, how big is insider ownership there, roughly?
It's very big also. They are very aligned. The CEO and have two CEOs, two co-founders. They have around 16% of total shares. And a German family company, which bought the business. They did very well in their investment because they bought a big position 10 years ago from the founders. They have like 25%. So even in the family and the CEO is very big. For example, the CEO doesn't have bonus, doesn't have stock options. Stock options in Nagarro is like 3 million a year. In companies like Endava or Globan, which are same size, stock options are 30 million, 10 times bigger. Their salary is only 300 million euros. Companies of this size is usually to have salaries over 2 to 3 million. Again, with no bonuses, no nothing. So their stake in the companies is more than 100 million euros. So they are very aligned with other shareholders, which is also a very nice feature that other public companies in this sector doesn't have. But this is a very small company and known in Germany and everything. I suppose that even if this company trades in the future in the Nasdaq or everything, the value can go up 3 times instantly. Okay, but now it's little unknown, it's small, it's in Germany and everything.
Do you generally like it when these kinds of companies buy other similar companies, or do you prefer just organic growth?
In this sector, you have to study. And for example, we have studied the EPAM success over the last years. It is very profitable to buy small companies. First, because small companies are having difficult to get big projects. What is the big money? Because clients doesn't like to work with small companies because they feel that they can go broke and doesn't finish the work. They don't like the brand. And you know how the corporate world is. In front of your boss, you must show that you have selected the best provider. So it's very important to grow in this or having a scale in this business. And also, there are a lot of sub-niches in this sector. It's not the same to have experience for the doing apps for a bank or doing work for an airline, for their internal systems and everything. There are a lot of sectors. What EPAM did to have this great success and being a multi-bagger is that they bought companies that have complementary knowledge or technologies or to gain access to the clients, okay? So Nagarro is doing the same. They are buying small companies, very cheap also, if you do the multiples at 8x EBITDA, or for two reasons. First, to gain access to the clients, they have relationship and they bought, Nagarro bought them, and they can offer much more services. And a very good thing also in Nagarro is that the organic growth, a very big part of that growth came from existing clients, not new clients, because they are giving more and more work to the company. So that's one reason, to gain client access, because then it's very easy to grow, and then to gain some capabilities that EPAM or Nagarro doesn't have. So EPAM is very strong right now, or Globan, because they have a very big set of capabilities to offer to the client. So as more capabilities do you have, the better for the future. So that's one reason. But the company are very good capital allocators. For example, as I said before, some days ago, they didn't buy any company, so they decided to start doing buybacks because the shares are down and they feel that the best investment is their own company. So that is also very, very important when you are going to invest.
Okay, wonderful. Alejandro, I will leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us again this year at European Investing Summit and presenting about compounders in this space. We truly appreciate your insights.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having us here another year. We have enjoyed it a lot, and I hope that people that watch this learn something about compounders and our philosophy to invest and everything. So I hope that you will do okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.